Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101. This is the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. Although sometimes that might feel counterintuitive, just like a bird, the nightingale, singing out in the dark. I'm JJ, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, and I am delighted that you could join me today. I have a great guest for you, but first, how are you feeling? Have you been out foraging? Maybe you've been boosting your immune system in anticipation of winter colds and flu. Well, full disclosure here, I've been a bit under the weather this week, and I don't often get sick, but I felt as if I might be developing a kind of flu. It hasn't amounted to much, thanks to a couple of steps that I took right at the beginning, but I have felt a bit lacking in energy. But how did I fend off the worst of it? Well, first of all, I thought I was going to get a cold. I started to sneeze and get a bit snotty, so I took a leaf out of nutrition expert Patrick Holford's book and got some vitamin C. Now, here's what he said about fending off colds in my recent interview with him. The vitamin might not stop you catching the bug, but it will get you through it quicker.
And it's true. If you put all studies ever done on vitamin C together, you don't get a statistically different number of colds, but you get shorter colds and you get less severe colds, right? And I remember, you know, not so long ago, doing a film, being invited as an expert on a film with the BBC. And they said, you know, could you say that vitamin C does not cause, you know, they're not less colds than people taking vitamin C? And I said, yeah, I'll say that, but the colds are shorter and the symptoms there. They said, could you leave out those two bits? I mean, you know, this is close to fraud as well in a way, really. And of course, if you read Professor Harry Hemler's Cochrane Review or meta-analysis, or if you are actually even interested, and there's one guy who's just done the best research on everything, you'd look at his latest paper, you know, which is easy to find. And of course, what you find is in studies that gave 4 to 8 grams, and you know, there's one study where I think half of people had no symptoms at the end of 24 hours. So then you're down to sort of semantics. In other words, if I take vitamin C when I get a cold in high dose, and I take about 1 gram an hour, and by the end of the day I have no cold, then you'd say, well, that's not prevention, right? Because you know, that's not just like taking it every day and not getting a cold. So, well, you know, we're into semantics. It's a bit like you know, if you knew that taking vitamin C in a day stops the cold, you'd probably say it's a cure for colds. You know, you might use
that. Yeah, you would. Yeah.
And my wife's a lovely example, because one of our grandkids came up and they were sniffly and snotty and had a sore throat, and they don't like, they're young and they don't, and fussy, and they don't like taking pills, and they don't like the taste of the vitamin C. So they suffered. So my wife got it, and you know, she superdosed with vitamin C. It's gone. And I didn't, because I knew. So I sort of up the dose, you know, I felt it tickling slightly in the background, but it sort of doesn't really bite.
And that's what happened with me. The cold symptoms left me very quickly. Now, that wasn't as easy as it seemed, as I'd run out of vitamin C. No problem, I headed to the village pharmacy, but all they had was the fizzy tablets, and when I read the ingredients, I put them back on the shelf. Let's just say there was a lot in them apart from vitamin C, and I wasn't happy with some of the ingredients, like aspartame, for instance. So back home I went and ordered some pure vitamin C online, which I got the next day and duly started to take. Then I looked to aromatherapy for an antiviral. Now, these days, tea tree is the go-to for many people. It is a strong antiviral, but I can't tolerate it. I can't use it on my skin, can't use it in any skin preparation, and even the smell of it doesn't sit well with me. So instead, my go-to these days is Ravintsara, originally from Japan and now grown widely in Madagascar. It's from the camphor tree, and it's often referred to as the queen of antivirals, and it's extremely versatile, so a good friend in times of sickness. Ravintsara is said to help with everything from headaches and colds to depression and anxiety. It has antibacterial, antiviral, analgesic and anti-inflammatory properties. It strengthens immunity, and it also has antimicrobial, anti-allergic and antiseptic effects. Plus, it's an expectorant and decongestant, which means it can help with bronchial and sinus issues, which is great when you're facing a flu or a cold. One of the best ways to use it is to put the oil in a diffuser. I sometimes like to use rose water in the diffuser, but ordinary water is fine. And that way you can inhale it, but you can also do it old school and put a couple of drops in a bowl of hot water and inhale for a moment or two with a towel over your head so that you get the steam going into your nostrils and into your lungs. I find it hugely beneficial. That, with the extra vitamin C and some rest, certainly helped me through my bit of lurgy this week, and I felt a lot better, a lot quicker. Now, my guest today is no stranger to health issues and overcoming them. Catherine Duncan is a childhood cancer survivor who also lived through a near-death experience, which led her, at a very young age, to ask the big question, what's life all about anyway? Her journey led to her becoming ordained, and she's now a holistic healer and integrative spiritual consultant. She's also an inspirational speaker, a resilience trainer, and an author. Her book is called Everyday Awakening, 5 Practices for Living Fully, Feeling Deeply, and Coming into Your Heart and Soul. I love that book title. Now, Catherine is committed to helping people heal so that they can live their lives fully. And I started off our chat by asking her just to tell us a little about her own journey to healing.
2 big life-changing experiences. Well, I've actually had 3 that I talk about in my new book, Everyday Awakening, that really shaped, were soul-shaping, were when I had a near-death experience in my 30s, whitewater rafting. I was on a Time Inc. corporate trip, and I had this really horrific experience in Costa Rica. I survived the experience, but I came home to Minneapolis where I live, and I knew in my heart I was completely done with my very successful corporate job. And within a matter of literally a few weeks, after 10 years with them and doing really well and, you know, loving the people I was working with and all the different clients, I gave my notice. I thought, I need to listen. Where am I being called? And it was a second experience of facing my death as a 10 turning 11 year old. I had a very rare childhood cancer, and it was very grim. And that's really when my path opened up. So though, just even those 2 experiences were deeply soul shaping and starting to really explore why am I on this earth? Where am I being called? And making a big life change.
Yeah, and now asking the question, what does it mean to be alive? It's a very good question. Yeah.
And I've been contemplating, why am I here? Why am I alive? Since a young teenager, when I went through really intensive treatments for this rare childhood cancer I had at 11, 12 years old, out of nowhere, no one talked to me in the hospital system, the medical staff, my family. And organically, I just turned to praying to the universe, please, I wanted to live. And I wanted to live. Could I live to be 20? That's what I pray. Could I live to be 20? And I got through everything, all the treatments. In fact, this drug came in the year I was sick. And my father, who's been gone now many years, this consummate businessman, it was randomly being given this chemotherapy from Turkey. And this drug is now the drug to this day, that the survival rate's now up to 80%. My father demanded I get this drug.
Wow.
So that was pretty incredible when I look back now. But as a teenager, young teenager, 12, 13, 14, I started contemplating, why am I here? Why am I alive? What does it mean to be alive? I started reading books on spiritualism and life and meaning and purpose. And this has been my path since most of my life.
And then you became ordained. So
I did, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I left Time Magazine. I kept, my husband at the time had a startup small internet company. So I went from working with Time Magazine to a warehouse with like 12, 15 guys, which was just awful. I mean, it's like going from the glamour of Time Magazine to this warehouse. And I was like, yikes, what did I do?
Yeah,
Even
I can see that. Yeah.
the president of our division of Time Inc., Mark, called me. He's like, hey, how you doing? Like, you want to come back? I'm like, should I? It just came to me within a few months, all of a sudden studying theology and spiritual direction, and that's the path I started down. And it was incredible starting graduate theology. I have a master's in theology and certified as a spiritual director, master's in divinity. But when I started reading the Desert Fathers and the mystics and all that from, early 12th, 13th, 14th century, I was just ecstatic. I mean, I'm like, I found my people. I was up late at night reading, just like, this is what I've been looking for since a teenager. So I became a spiritual director, then a chaplain. So here's my message: be careful what you pray for. I'm like, wherever you want me, whatever you want me to
And there you are. There you are. You've got there. Yeah.
do.
Yeah. And enjoying good health now, thankfully.
Yes, I'm super grateful. Gosh, it's been many, many years. I mean, so many, many years. And then I became a chaplain, and I worked with people that were going through crisis and upheaval and end of life at our trauma hospital, hospice for many years. And now I have a private practice where I work with people providing emotional, spiritual support, and many, many people who are searching for more. They may have this amazing life, but they feel a sense of maybe loneliness or numbness, or there's got to be more. I work with a lot of people helping them find that peace and ease and sense of oneness with the universe. That's the kind of work I do.
Yeah, for a lot of people, there's that empty chasm that they somehow need to be able to fill and can't find a way to do it. So it's helping people fill themselves up is one way of putting it, isn't it? Yeah. And of course, this we're talking about spiritual things and emotional health, but that is key to our overall health as well. And so it's really important that we pay attention to our spiritual and emotional needs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really whole person healing, whole person
Yeah.
healing, mind, body, spirit.
Right.
It's pretty hard to really be integrated and healthy if you can't acknowledge your heart, your spirit, and what that is. And everyone listening right now, it can be different for every person in the sense we're energy, everything is energy, we're vibrational energy, that sense of energy flowing in our being. Some people might call it God, Brahman, Allah. Energy through nature, just what is that for you? And how do you live from that deep sense, that deep form of energy within us, that's within, without? And we're all connected, that oneness, that universal oneness of all. That is what I'm talking about.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Yeah, it doesn't matter what name you give it. It's undeniable that there is something there and it connects us all. And I talk about living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. So expressing ourselves as an expression of the universal consciousness. And I guess that's where you're coming from too.
Absolutely. Yep. We're all connected. We're all energy. The sense of, oneness amongst all of us, this universal energy, universal consciousness. It's the all that is, the unnameable, that is our essence. It's not our thoughts. It's not our feelings. And that's so many people that I work with. They come to me and they've been living out of their mind. Their
Yeah.
thoughts are running them, their feelings are running them. And to realize, oh, I'm not that, the 60, 70 thoughts we have in a day. I'm not that thought. I'm not that feeling. I am that pure essence, that witnessing silence, stillness. That is me. It's like, oh my gosh, so exciting.
Yeah, it's beautiful when you discover that, when you can actually get in touch with the real you and live with the real you. But now, Your book, Everyday Awakening, it helps people find that, doesn't it?
I have lived five practices organically since a very young person. And so my book has five practices: how to come into your heart and soul, live fully, feel deeply. So I have the five practices, and then I have 42 exercises. How do you find, come into the present moment, find more love and flow, and learn to deeply trust life as it unfolds?
Fabulous. So, if you wouldn't mind, let's just take each one of those five practices and let's just explore them a little bit. So, what's the first one? Is that being present, being in the
Come
moment?
back to the present moment is the starting place for everything, of just be here now. I love, big fan for so many years of Ram Dass. So his phrase, be here now, realizing again that, we're not that thought. We can watch our thoughts, we can watch our feelings, we're that awareness, that witness, that essence behind that. So creating moments to just tune in and drop into the present moment. Our body's in the present moment. So while I'm talking right now, maybe people are listening, maybe they're multitasking and thinking about food or what they're going to do or social activity, but just fully coming into the moment. An anchor can be your breath, breathing in, feeling the flow of your breath coming in and out of your body. It could be your senses, maybe even just feeling your hands right now, your hands, your fingers, whatever's there, just coming into the moment. Into your body drops us out of our fast chattering ego mind that wants to run our lives to just being in this precious moment and feeling into that, opening to that, experiencing that. That is what it means to be fully alive in just this moment.
I love that. And that is really powerful. And when I say powerful, I don't mean, switching on the electricity. It is part of what fills you up. It's part of what enlivens you.
Absolutely. I learned this. I look back now at 11, 12 years old when I was
Wow.
going through treatment, really extensive chemotherapy every week. I realized, I just, it came to me like, if I didn't think about having to go back to the hospital the next week, I'd be okay in the moment. And
Wow.
I really learned how to be just fully present. And when I was just like, I was okay. It was magical. I look back now and I really learned this as a very young person to the extent that I actually didn't know how to think in the future. I only knew how to be present moment. So in my 20s, after I got out of college and I started working, I met a boyfriend who ended up becoming my husband, and he started talking future. I had a panic attack. I couldn't structure my brain, like how to concept the future. It was so interesting. I had to learn how to do future thinking.
Well, that is fascinating. I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who's had to learn how to think about the future or worry about the future. We all seem to have a real problem being in the moment. Wow. Yeah.
No, I had a few panic attacks. And then I did therapy. I'm like, okay, I need to learn a little bit of future-oriented thinking for planning, for organizing.
Because sometimes we do need to plan the odd thing, and although it would be lovely if we could go through life not planning anything and just hopping from moment to moment, that would be fantastic. But no, I mean, it's taken me years to learn that. I'm envious of you having learned it at such a young age. How fantastic. Yeah, but that obviously was not my path. I do love hearing about people who learn some of these life lessons really early, though. And we'll hear more from Catherine Duncan in a few moments. First, it's time to take a short break to hear from our station sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ Stenhouse, otherwise known as the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today, Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening. Before the break, Catherine was telling us about her lesson as a young child to be in the present moment and how she adopted her five practices. We've heard number one, but how about the second one? Let's get back into the interview. And so then what is number two, practice number two?
Connect with something greater. And yes, I'm an ordained minister with, it's called the United Church of Christ, very liberal. I'm very believe in being ecumenical and inclusive. And as I name, just what is that for everyone? What is the language? I've worked with people of all faith backgrounds, no faith backgrounds, but just tuning in the moment to your body, to the breath, to the energy flowing in your being. And what is that? And feeling into that. And how is that guiding you? That, and we all have deep inner guidance and intuition, that knowing that comes through our being, tuning into that.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. And I always think of that higher power is really just being the power within each one of us. That's how I think of it. But it's not maybe how you think of it and how other people will think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say this life force, this energy force, this flow that's within all of us.
Yeah.
And opening into that, feeling into that, and really letting that be your guide, letting that be your anchor. I think we can live multidimensionally. We can live anchored in the present moment, anchored in that deep sense of this, universal oneness and intelligence. Use our mind when we need to for work, for planning. But there's just many layers we can live right now in this moment.
Absolutely. And that connection to nature as well, as one of those, if you like, I mean, you could say that nature's a higher power, but we are nature. We're part of nature. Yeah.
Yep.
I love that. Okay. So that's number two. What would number three be?
Yep. The third practice is called grow your trust. And when I was writing this book, I've been a voracious reader of self-help and spiritual books. And as I said, books on meaning and purpose since a young teenager. And I've not come across many books that talk about how to trust. They just say trust, trust,
yeah, right.
Trust. Well, yeah. How do you do it?
good question. Yeah.
I pushed hard, like, okay, what does it mean to trust? So here's what I think trust is. It's coming into this moment with just that is a conscious practice, being here now. Can you then accept the moment for all that it is? And that even is a lot to ask when life can be hard and messy, just accepting the moment fully for all that it is, just being here, the good, the bad, just be fully present and accepting. I think when we can accept the moment, then we can hear, listening to that still small voice, that sense of inner guidance, that knowing that comes through us, our intuition. We hear of this in every faith, spiritual tradition that there is. So when you can be in the moment, accepting the moment, listening within, I think that's how we trust. Trust is a verb. We have a sense like, I am on the right path, or I feel like I need to take a shift or detour here. It's just knowings come through us, how we can deeply trust the guidance. We all are guidance. And I talk about in my book, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentient, many ways we get guidance. Is it visual? Is it hearing? Is it sensing? Many different ways. These are few examples. And that's how I've lived my life. I'm a mystic. I see spirits. I hear a lot. I get a lot. And it's tuning in every day to that deep guidance that we all have.
We do all have that. And I love that too. And I mean, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this though, but I feel that when you do trust and you can fall into that space of trusting in the moment, then that's where you just let go of all the anxieties in life. And so many of us are anxious right now, suffering from anxiety and fear.
So much of our suffering, I would say majority, if not almost all of it, comes from our mind, our thinking mind.
Yeah. Yeah, let's stop thinking. That's not the answer, I know, but
even tuning
in a
in.
way.
Yeah, and tuning in. People,
Yeah.
events, circumstances, is something really happening, or is it in my mind? Is it in my thinking mind? And then how
Right.
to identify, oh, it's in my mind. Okay, what can I do to relieve this anguish that my mind, and we get what's called a limbic loop. It keeps creating and growing. It's like, oh, and then the chemical release, and then it just, you're just in this loop in your mind.
Yes, absolutely. And I often question where these thoughts come from anyway. I mean, whose are these thoughts sometimes, I ask myself, you know? Yeah.
I would offer that when we're still and silent and really deeply present, and maybe you find that when you practice mindfulness or practice meditation or your prayer practice, where your mind can really slow down and stop, and you're just here. And then the guidance that comes, well, where does it come from? I think it comes from this universal intelligence. I think it comes from we all have angels and guides, spirit guides. I get so much guidance every day of my life by tuning in, but it's in that silence and that stillness. It's not when my mind is, busy thinking away. It's not there.
Right, yeah. And even if you don't meditate, as in, doing transcendental meditation or something like that, we can just sit or practice sitting in silence, for a few minutes every day. That
Yep,
helps.
I recommend even just 5 minutes a day, if nothing else, just sitting maybe indoor, outdoor, and just be.
Yeah.
Just notice, just watch, just be. And your mind's gonna go, pull you this way, that way. Just come back, just be and notice.
Yeah, and notice the thoughts and let them go. You're a woman after my own heart with that one, definitely. And then, so the next one is also, well, they're all important, but the next one, tell us about it.
Yeah, the fourth practice is embodied love. I'll tell you, this was the number one theme I heard with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people I was with in crisis, at end of life, when they died. All that mattered was love. Everything else dropped away. Nothing else mattered but the love they felt with those closest to them. And how do you grow that love? And I think it starts with loving ourselves first, self-compassion. How do we love ourselves? The more love we have, the more love we can give to another. I think the reason we're on this earth is to learn to love. I think what we take with us when we die is our capacity to love. I think that's how we differentiate ourselves, is learning to love and open our heart and open our heart even more. And it's easy to say when life
Very,
can be
yeah.
hard and family, friends disappoint us. This happens to all of us. But when things happen, can you let these emotions come through us? Feelings aren't permanent. They come, they go, but, and it takes courage and it takes strength to feel the feeling, like, oh, I'm angry, I'm sad, I feel, whatever that feeling is, to feel it. And when you feel it, there's room. It dissipates. There's room for love and peace to come through you and to keep choosing to love and love more.
And loving yourself. I know it's a cliche, but if you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else?
And I do think everything I'm talking about with you today, it's a conscious choice and it's a conscious practice.
Right, yeah.
Many of us have grown up in families where they were really challenging, maybe they were dysfunctional, maybe you didn't hear love. I grew up in a family that was what, Swedish, Norwegian, reserved. I never heard I love you grow up. I never heard
Wow.
that.
Wow.
And it wasn't until in my 30s, I really had a conscious moment where I'm like, I want to feel more love. I want to feel more love. And I chose to do this meditation every day where I go in and see my heart and I would soothe my heart and grow love. These are all conscious practices to unearth the angst in our being, to let it out, to grow love in our heart. We all can do it. And I'll tell you, that practice of envisioning my heart and feeling my heart warm and expand, at the end of the 30 days, I did it every day. And the 30th day, I felt this fluttering in my heart. And I was like, oh, and I realized, oh, right, I've been focusing on my heart. Our mind, body, spirit, it's all connected.
Absolutely, it's all connected. So, what is that process then? Can you share it with us?
Yeah, I came across this meditation. I have a version of it actually in my book, Every Day Awakening. I acknowledge the woman who I saw this meditation when I was in my 30s. You walk up, this version was you walk up into this home, you open the door, and there's a vast hall, and there on a ledge is your heart. And you just observe, what is your heart? Is it beating well? Is it kind of cold? Is it retracted? Is it kind of icy? Is it frozen? I mean, whatever your heart's condition. And then you just do whatever you need to do to warm your heart. If it's like unlocking any chains or heating it up or providing warmth and comfort to your heart. So you just spend time visualizing what does your heart need and giving your heart what it needs. And then feeling it, feeling your heart soften and expand. And it's really powerful. A very powerful meditation.
Yes, and those types of meditations can be hugely powerful, and you will find some of them on my own website, thepracticalalchemist.uk, if you want to have an explore, both video and audio available there. Now, don't go away yet, though. We're going to take another short break right now, but we'll be back for more with Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening, right after this.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. With me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my lovely guest today, Catherine Duncan, author of Everyday Awakening. Before the break, we were talking about the power of visualizations and meditations. Here's Catherine again.
I'm a big fan of Louise Hay. She was a big person on my path. For many, many years. She's passed away a few years ago now at 90. But even her mirror work, where you look in the mirror and you say, I love you. I love you. I really love you. I really love you. And you insert your name and you say that 10 times. It doesn't take long. And just telling your conscious and your subconscious mind, I love you, and feeling that, that's a powerful exercise. All these are in my book. It's just that's another great exercise.
Well, that's a fantastic one. And I know that a lot of people find that one really difficult.
I've shared that with many, many clients. And some clients, they can't even look at themselves in the mirror. That's okay. But just starting, just say it. You don't have to look at yourself. And eventually, just see if you can start to open a little bit and notice that opening and notice that feeling. It's all a process, it's all a journey.
And eventually you can look at yourself in the mirror and
Yeah.
say, I love you,
Well.
and not feel a kind of, oh, of what am I doing here? What am I saying?
Yep.
It can eventually come very naturally, and it's beautiful when that
Yep.
happens.
I had an
Fantastic.
80-year-old client who couldn't look at herself and then finally could. And then at the end of our time together, she would stand in front of the mirror naked and just like, I love you. And it was
I
so
love
beautiful.
that. I love that. I think that's fantastic. That'll be me when I'm 80, hopefully. So no, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So what is the final practice then?
The final practice is hold openness. And just how can you go with the flow? Finding this emotional equanimity, a flow and ease. The world is full of chaos. There's so
That's
much
true.
chaos outside of us, people around us. So, how can you find that flow, that rhythm? And in this chapter, I give some exercises. So, for example, how we work with energy. Some of us are more sensitive, empathic than others, but every one of us is taking in the energy of the world around us. You even go into a grocery store, there's like, ooh. I mean, I'm very empathic. I'm very sensitive. If I were to not work with what I want to share energy boundaries, I would pick up everything of everyone around me. So tuning in and working with energy, we can be conscious of Energy, the flow of energy, how much energy we take in. I've been working with energy boundaries myself for over 24 years, every day of my life. Thrilled to say that is now finally being recognized by the medical community. There's a chapter, a section of this in what's called integrative medicine here in the US by David Reichel. And when I saw this a few years ago, I was like, yay! The medical community is finally acknowledging that we are energy. So a consciousness of, how much of the chaos of the world am I absorbing? Am I not? I mean, all you have to do here in the US is turn on CNN and it's like, oh, So I show in my book ways to how to work with energy, how to release energy, how to find that flow. These are all, again, choices we're making, how we're living every day.
And choices that impact how we feel, and actually not just how we feel, not just our emotional health or our mental health, it's also our physical health,
Oh,
because
100%.
it manifests in so many ways. I think that we have to maintain the energy boundaries, obviously, but it's being aware of where our energy is and how we're using our energy as well, isn't it?
Yep. And this is just basic 101, our nervous system being regulated, dysregulated, and we, every one of us, can work at regulating our nervous system. I mean, just the research of 5 minutes of doing some breathing, meditating, what's called the relaxation response by Dr. Herbert Benson from 1970. We can regulate and lower our blood pressure, our heart rate, our cortisol level. There's some incredible things we can do. It was just one little example of how to find that calm, that ease in our body, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
And people who say, well, we're not energetic beings, but we are electricity in a sort of very basic way. Listen to the language. We talk about things sparking ideas. We talk about sparks and the vital spark. So it makes sense that we are energy, and we need to mind our energy and also not waste our energy, not let our energy drain away from us. Do you talk about that in the book as well?
And I mean, there's research that we are energy. Every one of us has an aura, around our body that's about as far as our arms extend. I mean, there's research documenting that, in fact, we are energy, and we do have an aura. And so, how do you work with the energy of the world? And especially now, with so much happening in the world, finding that deep grounding and peace. And it's a real practice and a choice. It's something I work on every day. It's top of mind from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep at night, of just finding that flow and that breathing room.
Yes, I am very, very similar to you in that respect, in that it's a daily thing. Every day you're finding that equilibrium and that quiet space and that space inside, coming back to the present. And aiming to not allow all the non, you know, the absolute chaos in the world to affect you, because it doesn't have to. It sounds like an incredible journey in your life, and it sounds like you've come to a great place of understanding how we might operate at optimum levels as human beings, and I love that. Now, tell us, where can people find out more about you and your work? And let's talk about where people can get a hold of your book again.
Yeah, my book is called Everyday Awakening.
Yay.
Yeah, 5 practices, living fully, feeling deeply, coming into your heart and soul. And my book is really about awakening. How do you come into that deep sense of presence, aliveness, the connection with God, infinite spirit, oneness of the universe, and live from there? How do you do it?
And
And
sorry, I was just going to say, and even somebody who is ill with something, say they have an illness, a diagnosis of something, even people who have some kind of chronic illness or anything like that, they can still benefit from the practices that you describe.
every one of us, until the moment we die, yes, every one of us. And this is also the impetus of writing this book. Aside from my personal experience of facing death and being with thousands of people in crisis and end of life, I saw many people, the last days of their life, all of a sudden open into, oh, feeling this preciousness of life and like saying, this is it. And just the wonderment and that oneness with all and radiant love. And then they died. And my message is, you don't have to wait until you are at end of life or you're in crisis or upheaval. You can choose this right now. This can be where you can open into and live from today.
Beautiful, beautiful. And then, if people want to find out more about you and maybe get in touch with you, you've got a website.
Yeah, my website is katherineduncan.org, or I also have a page, everydayawakening.com. My book, Everyday Awakening, it's on Amazon all over the world. It's a Barnes and Noble we have here in the US. I'm on every social media, Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and LinkedIn. Yeah, a lot.
I love that. Yeah. And in fact, since we spoke before this, before recording this, we've actually started following each other on a lot of them, I think, which is great. It's great to have you in the club, as it were, in my social media club. So fantastic to hear about your work. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And if there was one thing that you would say to anybody about how they might maybe just turn their life around a little bit, what would that one thing be?
I really like the phrase about during the day. Can you a couple times during the day tune in and ask yourself this question? Am I in my mind or am I in my heart? Just tune in. Am I in my mind? It's so easy to live where our mind runs us, where we live on autopilot. Life lives us. Or can you take a moment? Am I in my heart? Can I breathe? And even putting your hands on your chest and feel your heart and breathe, feeling into just this moment where we drop into that oneness with all. And can I live from there? Can I breathe? Can I feel? So just that one question, am I in my mind or in my heart? And just starting to be aware and doing that even a couple times a day, we'll start to build that awareness muscle of where am I? And where do I want to grow? Where do I want to open into? And it's a choice. It's a practice that I hope people can start tuning into more. And I think a lot of people are. A lot of people want more peace and ease. There's so much unrest in the world. Here in the US, one out of two people are lonely. We're in a loneliness epidemic. But just I think people are longing for peace and ease, and it's here. And it takes a conscious choice to tune in and to grow that.
Thank you for saying that. I agree, and people do need this more than ever. The chaos that's in the world right now, I think, we all need to just step up and help ourselves and help others. So thank you so much for being one of the people out there who's doing that. And thank you for writing your book, and thank you for coming on this show and talking to me about it. So, Catherine, I loving getting in touch with you and getting to know you. We'll speak again, I'm sure, but
Yeah,
thank
such a delight. Thank you so much.
you. Thanks for everything right now. Thank you. The lovely Catherine Duncan there. I know I've said lovely a couple of times now, but she really is a joy. I totally resonate with her approach to spirituality and well-being there. And again, if you want to follow her five practices, do buy her book. Once again, it's called Everyday Awakening, Five Practices for Living Fully, Feeling Deeply, and Coming into Your Heart and Soul. You'll find it online and in bookstores. And on that note, sadly, we're at the end of the show. I hope you found it as enjoyable as I have. You can find out more about me and my work at thepracticalalchemist.uk, and while you're there, do subscribe to my newsletter and look me up on social media, including my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. Also, do take a look at October's Health Triangle magazine for more health news and views. Among the many articles you'll find there is a piece by me on the health benefits of sunshine as we head into winter here. Now, that was prompted by my interview with Australian decentralised health expert Dr. Max Gulhane some weeks ago. You'll find the link to the magazine on the UK Health Radio homepage. For now, though, thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Join me another time here on UK Health Radio for more great guests and more information on how we can transform our well-being naturally. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.